Australia's terror threat level remains under constant review, and particularly following these awful events in Paris over the weekend. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is attending the G20 in Turkey. He's receiving ongoing briefings from ministers and security agencies concerning the threat to Australia after the Paris attacks. The Attorney General, George Brandis, is a member of the National Security Committee of Cabinet. He joins us from Brisbane. George Brandis, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Minister, if ISIS can strike at the heart of Europe, it can strike anywhere, can't it, including here? Is that the message from the weekend attacks in Paris?
Well, I think the message from the weekend attacks is it reinforces what the government has been saying for a very long time now, and that is that the threat of terrorism is a very grave threat, particularly to the Western democratic world, but in fact to all of humanity. But I should also say to you, Fran, that the Australian people should feel reassured that our national security and policing agencies are well-resourced, they are highly competent. The government has legislated over the last 2 years to give them all appropriate powers that they need, and people should feel a high level of reassurance that everything that can be done to keep Australians safe is being done.
Does that mean, I know the official terror threat level remains at high in this country, but as more information emerges about the assailants behind the Paris attacks, about the intentions of ISIS, does that mean there will be no need for other security measures, or are other measures being considered by the National Security Committee of Cabinet?
Well, Fran, there is no evidence of a connection between the events in Paris and anything bearing upon the security situation in Australia. But of course, the government, and particularly the national security agencies, keep the situation in Australia under constant review.
ASIO has already told us that it's monitoring about 400 individuals regarded as sort of high priority when it comes to terrorism investigations. Is this, these attacks on Paris, in your view or the view of the agencies, are they likely to be a sort of a recruiting tool for ISIS?
Well, whenever an event of this kind occurs, then obviously it gives encouragement to other like-minded people. And these are obviously very grave events, and the national security agencies and the police are very alert to ensure that there isn't any copycat behaviour in Australia. As I said in answer to your previous question, there is no evidence that there is a direct connection between the events in Paris and the security situation in Australia. But that being said, we are of course very conscious to be as alert as we possibly can be to any possible threats in Australia.
Well, Tony Abbott, the former Prime Minister, said on the weekend that Paris shows that ISIS is getting stronger. I mean, is it beyond doubt that ISIS is extending its reach? We've seen the attacks in Paris, of course, the attacks on the Russian jetliner, the attacks in Beirut, that it's operating beyond its borders. And as it said in that statement on the weekend, this is just the first of the storm. And to teach France and all nations following its path that they'll remain at the top of ISIS' list of targets. Do you think that includes Australia?
Well, what the horrifying events in Paris tell us is that the warnings that the Australian government and other Western leaders, European and American leaders, have been expressing for a long time now, that the threat from ISIS is not to be underestimated, were prudent warnings. And what we must do in Australia and what we are doing is to ensure that all measures that are necessary to keep our people safe, whether it be giving the agencies the resources and powers they need, whether it be the legislative framework, whether it be operational matters, are being done as well as possible. And I can assure you, Fran, and your listeners, that we have the best security and policing agencies in the world to ensure that the Australian people are safe.
The challenge is so high, though, isn't it? One of the attackers in Paris is described as a petty criminal known to the police, but not as a high level, not regarded as a high level terrorist threat. You know, it's almost impossible, isn't it, for the security agencies to prevent an attack from a person like this, because you can't monitor everybody if you don't realise they're a threat.
Well, what that demonstrates, Fran, is the gravity of the situation, and we have highly skilled, national security agencies. We have extremely skillful and well-trained police forces. The figure you quoted before, there are 400 investigations, approximately 400 investigations being undertaken by ASIO at the moment is correct. And I see the intelligence on a daily basis, Fran, and I can assure you, and I can assure your listeners, that although this is not a fail-safe process, everything that can be done by the agencies is being done.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Federal Attorney General, George Brandis, who is in charge, of course, of designing Australia's anti-terror laws, but also is a member of the National Security Committee of Cabinet. The agencies have told us, as the Prime Minister and others, including yourself, that the one important weapon in the fight against terrorism is intelligence, is a strong links with the Muslim community, because we need that kind of intelligence. For instance, you know, we know in these attacks with Paris, this wasn't organised online through that kind of online chatter that can somehow get picked up. Therefore, you need human intelligence, you would think. Now, again, to quote Tony Abbott, he told Andrew Bolt on the weekend that as a matter of general principle, we should, quote, be only bringing into Australia refugees from the Middle East who are prepared to join our team. It kind of reinforces his call as Prime Minister that Muslim leaders should speak out more for peace. Let's listen.
It's absolutely incumbent on all decent people, but particularly on religious leaders, Muslim religious leaders, to say this is not part of our faith. It never should have been, and it must not be now.
Just wondering what you thought of that call, given the emphasis that's been put on trying to build cooperation with the Muslim community rather than give any sort of alienation, sense of alienation to them.
Well, let me make two points, Fran. First of all, working closely and collaboratively with the Muslim community is absolutely essential. It is absolutely essential, and ASIO, the Australian Federal Police, State and Territory Police Forces have gone to a great deal of trouble to foster close relationships with the Islamic community, with the Muslim community, because that is essential. They are, as Mr. Turnbull said recently, our necessary partners in confronting this menace. But secondly, in relation to Mr. Abbott's comments, I didn't interpret Mr. Abbott's comments to be anything other than a very powerful and strong endorsement of the policies that Mr. Turnbull has continued to implement. As I said in a speech I gave to the Centre for Independent Studies last Friday week, with the change of Prime Minister and the change of the composition of the National Security Committee of Cabinet, our national security policies and priorities have not changed one iota.
But the language around engagement with the community has, and that was signalled quite publicly by the government in the wake of this event. How important is that? And therefore, I wonder too how you respond to comments from, say, the National Deputy Speaker in the New South Wales Parliament calling on the Prime Minister to close Australia's borders to Middle Eastern refugees. Are you concerned about those calls?
Well, I haven't seen those remarks, and I'm not going to comment on remarks I haven't seen. But let me remind you, Fran, and your listeners, that Australia is the most successful multicultural society in the world, and the Muslim community are a very important element of Australian society. The fact that a very small minority of fanatics defy the teachings of the Islamic religion by engaging in terrorist crime, whether overseas or, as we've seen on three instances now in the last year in Australia, should not reflect upon the Muslim community. The worst thing we could do is to alienate the Muslim community. They are our fellow citizens, and they are our necessary partners in combating this menace.
And Attorney General, can I ask you about the flow and impacts for this in the fight against ISIS, because you are a member of the National Security Committee of Cabinet, and we've seen reported over the week, or just overnight actually, the White House says, Obama saying, the US will work with France as coalition attacks ramp up and will seek additional contributions from other partners, including Australia. Do you anticipate Australia, or has Australia been asked for a greater military contribution to ISIS, and do you think if we are asked, we should respond positively?
Well, that's a decision that hasn't yet been made. Might I point out that after the United States, which is far and away the largest contributor to the military coalition in the Middle East, Australia is actually the second largest contributor. So our contribution is a substantial one, particularly the contribution of the RAAF is a very substantial one. I think it is a necessary one because ISIS has to be defeated militarily, as well as whatever other policies and measures that we adopt. It is necessary to defeat ISIS militarily in Syria and northern Iraq.
Minister, we're about to be joined by Michelle Grattan. She's written today a story saying that Australia was not invited to the talks in Vienna, the talks trying to get a political solution in Syria, reportedly because Russia vetoed us. Is that your understanding? Can you confirm that?
Well, I'm not familiar with that. My understanding is that these talks were primarily talks between Secretary Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov in relation to who else was at the table. I have nothing to say.
And just more broadly at our terror laws in terms of foreign fighters, which is important because the agencies have great concerns about Australians who might have gone over to fight with ISIS and come back. Under Australian law, dual national Australian citizens can legally fight for the armies of their second country. So they could join Lebanese, Russian, Turkish, Egyptian armies. Is it time for that to be reconsidered?
Well, we're talking about irregular troops. We're not talking about people who legitimately serve in the armies of foreign countries, in the military of foreign countries. Because these laws were designed specifically to deal with a civil war situation, such as we're seeing in the Middle East, more broadly on the architecture of our anti-terrorism laws, Fran. I think that, if I may say so, your observation on insiders yesterday that it was necessary to tighten our laws and that we have it about right now was a prudent and accurate observation. But that being said, we, of course, and this is my job, we of course, constantly keep our laws under review to ensure that they are as fit for purpose, that they are as effective as they possibly can be to keep our community safe.
Attorney General, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Attorney General George Brandis.